Be thankful for. Even when a bad week, you can have something to be thankful for. God calls us to have a thankful heart and a thankful position towards Him. Sometimes in life, significant things happen and they cause us to have a desire to change or a need to change. Earlier this year, I had a significant birthday in January of this year. I had a significant birthday. I turned 40, and which was pretty big. Some people thought I was older, but that's just early onset follicle discoloration. So it was only 40. But as I went towards 40, I thought to myself, and maybe you had this thought. I thought I'm going to be fit. 40, kind of, you're getting middle ages. You need to be fit. So I declared around the house that I was going to be fit and 40, and as we ventured towards 40, I'd love to say that I did something, but unfortunately, as I was going up the stairs, I found myself puffing up the stairs, and just wasn't feeling fit. My son cheekily says to me, my 8-year-old son, he says, nothing wrong with fit and 41, Dad, and I figure that will last for another 9 years, so I've got 9 years to get myself fit. Actually, then we hit 50, so fit and 50 will be fine, I think. But certainly significant life situations cause us to have a desire to change, or sometimes a need to change. Sometimes some of us have had significant health situations in our life where we've been told, because of that, you actually now need to change the way that you live. Because of what's happened, you need to change what's coming out of you. And the gospel and Jesus Christ and His word is no different to that. The Bible talks about, therefore, because of what has happened in your life, there's now a call to look different, to live your life differently, that your life would look different to the way it was before. We've been working through Romans, and we've been talking about God's grace and His mercy and His love for us, and the fact that our sin has cut us off from Him, that our sin meant that we could no longer live like Christ, that we are influenced by the world. And so Jesus sent His one and only Son to die for us, that we might be connected to God forever. And we've been working through the chapters of Rome. We've come to chapter 12 today. And chapter 12 is talking about Christian living. And saying, basically, therefore, because of this significant situation that's happened in Christ, where you have received Christ, then your life needs to look different. Your life needs to change. The way that you live individually and communally actually needs to look differently because of what Jesus has done for you. And so today, if you've got your Bible, you might want to open with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to have a look through Romans chapter 12 today and have a discussion around this whole area of looking different, our lives making different and making a difference. God actually wants to use your and my life to make a difference. He actually wants to work in and through us to change us to more and more glorify His name. And so in Romans chapter 12, if you've been able to find your way there, it's one of Paul's letters, and he says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Verse 9 goes on, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, I like that one, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow, what a list. Romans 12, a description of Christian living, a description of what our lives are to beginning to start to look like because of God's grace and his mercy and his restoration through Jesus Christ of our lives. Because of that, we now are called to live differently. Not the same as we lived before, not engulfed, inflamed with the ways of the world, but given, fueled by the things of Jesus Christ. And so Paul talks about a few different things. He says, living as life as living sacrifices. Now, he's talking to a bunch of people who understood what sacrifices were. He's talking to a bunch of people who understood that sacrifices weren't normally living, they were dead. Sacrifices were killed for the spreading of the blood, for the forgiveness of sins and many other things, but they were a sacrifice was an animal that was killed on the altar. It's a dead thing. And here he starts in Romans 12 by saying, I want your lives not to be dead sacrifices, but I want them to be living sacrifices. Living sacrifices, because the person that we follow, Jesus Christ, yes, he died, but he rose again and he lives. And so he is the first fruit. He is a living sacrifice. He was also the one and only atoning sacrifice, which means, as Don said, that we don't have to keep sacrificing. But now Paul's calling us to live our lives as a sacrifice, to live in a way that is laid down for Jesus Christ, live in a way that puts him first. And therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Wow. It's kind of a privilege, isn't it, that we get to live our lives as a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. I think that's a privilege. And as I read that list, I go, it's actually not a bad list. I wouldn't mind looking a bit more like that tomorrow more than I do today. And that's what Paul's actually saying. Hey, grow in me. So how do we do that? How do we grow in Christ? How do we do this? Because I also know that if we actually just go out and try and do this and try and be better at this, and just get good at a list, it's actually called works, and works does nothing. And so it's about a change from the inside out that Paul's talking about here. It's about a change from the inside out that actually the externals will actually change as our internals change. Do not conform anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to show you a diagram by a guy called Dallas Willard that kind of helps explain a little bit about what we're doing. And Trev, if you could just pop that up for me, that would be fantastic. How clear is that? Oh, it's reasonably clear. Clear. It's clearer than my talking. Okay, so Dallas Willard talks about a revolution of character, a transformation of the heart when he thinks about this topic. And he talks about your heart being your spirit and your will. Your heart is the thing that drives everything. So he's not talking about the organ in here that pumps the blood. He's talking about your spirit and your will. It's the thing that is right in your core that drives everything. It's like your washing machine. Internally in your washing machine is a little computer. And if that computer isn't working right, then your washing machine isn't working right. But you don't fix it by getting the dials working better or by making sure the door closes better or making sure it fits better in your cupboard. You actually change the function of it by changing the little internal computer. And when we become Christians, grace enters into our lives and allows us the ability to change our heart. will not us to change our heart, but actually Christ to change our heart. And for us to be able to live anything that God is calling us to live here as a living sacrifice, we actually need His grace and His mercy to penetrate our heart, His Holy Spirit to penetrate and give the impetus and to give the power to change our inner being, that the externals might begin to change. We change in a manner of a slow cooker, not a microwave. So I would love to just hit a button and push 30 seconds and bing, there I am, the changed man. But that's not the way that God works. God's more of a slow crock pot. I get confused between a slow pot cooker and a crock pot. I think they're the same. Are they the same? They're the same, aren't they? God's into them, big time. I think He invented them. That's how He changes heart and changes character. It's a marinating process that involves prayer, worship, fasting, meditation of His Word. All those spiritual disciplines that allow us to sit in the presence of God more and more and more is what allows us to understand what His grace is actually all about and what His life was all about, and allows our heart to be changed. The more that we create space to allow God to sit in our, for us to sit with God, the more chance we have of our internal heart being changed and understanding exactly who Jesus is and who He was and how He wants us to live in His ways. That only happens through sitting with Him and becoming more and more intimate with Him. We can't just download it. It's not a reprogram, it's a slow maturation of who you are from the inside out. And so this process of changing that we see in Romans 12, because of all of this stuff, we're called to change, but it's going to start with the changing of our heart, of us actually stopping and sitting in the presence of God, reading our Word, talking to Him, meditating on His Word, fasting, all of those things that we sometimes get so busy for in life, they're actually the thing that actually changes our heart, that will eventually change all the things that Romans 12 is actually talking about. Goes on to say, do not conform anymore to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. You know, as our heart begins to change, then our mind, which is made up, as Willard would say, of our thoughts and our feelings, then our body, then the way that we use our body, all begins to change as well. But it starts from that inside out. When it starts to change our mind, it starts to change the way that we think about things. At the moment, our mind, before we know Christ, our mind is what's challenging our mind, and what's changing our mind are the things of the world, the patterns of the world. So we think that we do things this way because that's the way we've been told. Then as we sit with Jesus and we sit with God, our heart begins to change, and we start to understand that actually there's different ways of responding and there's different ways of thinking when I'm doing life. That actually God has different ways. Our mind, in basic neuroscience, is that our mind is made up of neurons and synapses. We take in information through sense receptors that go to our mind, and then our mind sends out information along neurons and synapses to our body to move and to do things. Valiant Man, a great course by a man named Alan Meyer, talks about that our thought patterns and our channels, the ones that we use more and more, they're a bit like roads and highways and tracks. The ones that we use more and more, they become well built up, like highways. And the thought patterns that we use not very much actually become more and more like dirt tracks. And so when our information comes in and we respond out, we automatically send them down the highways because that's what our mind is used to sending the information down. What changing of the mind requires, starting from a change of the heart, is actually that there are different ways to send our thought processes out. We don't have to send them down the highways. We can actually begin to send them down some of the dirt tracks that haven't been used very much. The good news is, as we send them down the dirt tracks, our thoughts and our mind, those start to get built up. What you use starts to get built up. It's a bit like a habit. And so Alan Myers, in his course, Valiant Man, encourages us to be people who are being transformed by the mind, transforming our mind, that we start to live out in a way that our whole life starts to honor God, starts to live out in worship the way that God calls us to live. So a little process that I use when I do that is I call it catch, submit, and redirect. And so as thoughts and processes start to come out of my mind, and I have thoughts that come out of my mind, and I think, that was just ugly. Have you ever had thoughts like that? You just think things, and you think, that's just not good. Don't all nod necessarily. It's just good just to pretend that we're all got it together. You know, I have a thought that's just not of God. I think I had one in the car the other day. I think you probably had one this morning. Thoughts, we have them that just aren't of God. What we do is we catch them. We just catch them. The earlier we catch them, the better it is. The less we have to apologize. But we catch them. And we say, God, and then I just resubmit it to God. I say, God, that's not what I want to be about. I know it's not what you want to be about, but it's there, so I just submit it to you now. I give it over to you. Submit it means I give over the authority and the power of that to Jesus. I give it to you. And I actively choose to think something else. So I'm redirecting a thought pattern, not down a way that it would normally go, but actually stopping it, not just stopping it, but giving it to God and then saying, God, would you give me the strength to think a different way? I've read in your word that there's a different way of doing things. I'm going to take that way. Valiant Man is actually a course all about helping men to think differently about sexuality. It's a great course, and if you're a man and you haven't done it, I want to encourage you to do it. And so an illustration that he would use is be saying, hey, when you see an attractive lady, someone who's attractive to you, and your normal thought pattern would be to leer or to goggle or to undress with your mind, stop that thought, submit it to God, and understand that God has made women in his image, beautiful, princesses of God, as somebody's daughter, as somebody's wife, as somebody's mother, and meditate on that thought processes. So I'm capturing that thought, I'm submitting it to God, and now I'm choosing actively to think about that in the way that God has taught me to think about that. I'm renewing my mind. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, which tell me to think about women in a certain way, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Therefore, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You can take that illustration and apply it to any topic that you really want to. Valiant Man is just a really good course for helping me to understand that process. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, but it starts with being transformed in your heart. Romans goes on to talk about humbling yourself in the body of Christ. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has given you. You know, humbling yourself before others requires you to be with others. It's very easy for me to be humble when I'm by myself. But also, humbling yourself doesn't mean whacking yourself and telling yourself that you're bad and you're terrible. A lot of people think humbling yourself means walking around going, ah, I'm terrible, I'm useless, woe is me, I'm what? That's not true. That's not humbling yourself. That's just ignoring God's amazing creation. Remember that God made you in his image. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So if you're just downing yourself, you're actually downing God's artistic work. Good luck with that. Humbling yourself is acknowledging that God has gifted you and given you talents and given you abilities, but he's also given the person next to you talents and gifts and abilities. Probably different to yours, but no better, no worse. And living out the things of God as a living sacrifice is acknowledging that, hey, I've got stuff to contribute, but so have you. You've got stuff to contribute as well. And so I do that humbly. Philippians 2 calls us to be humble as Christ was humble, who made himself nothing, coming to the earth in the form of a human, a baby, living amongst us, dying on a cross, but rising again that Christ, that God might be glorified. That's, he says, be humble like Jesus was humble. So part of this living like Christ actually goes then from our mind into our body, that actually I'm going to start to think of myself the way that God sees me, but I'm also going to start to think about everyone else the way that God sees them. Humble yourself before others. And then it moves on to talk about understanding your gifts and getting paper that doesn't stick together. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, each one of you has the manifestation of the Spirit and has been given gifts. So if you're humbling yourself before others and you're saying, you know what, you're a pretty gifted person, but so am I, you need to understand that each one of us has been given a gift, many gifts, gifts that are Spirit-empowered to bless other people. To some, the Spirit of teaching. To some, the Spirit of encouragement. To some, the Spirit of giving. To some, the gift of prophecy. To some, the gift of tongues. To some, the gift of this, it goes on and on and on. But each one of us has been a gift, been given a gift for the building up of the body. Now, humble use of your gifts says that not one gift is more important than the other gifts. In fact, when all the gifts understand that they are important, but they're also done submitted humbly to each other, that's where we see the full manifestation of Christ in us as a body. The Bible says that you and me are the body of Christ. When we see the full manifestation of God's outworking, Jesus outworking in our body, is when we are all using our gifts equally, and we're all appreciative of each other's gifts, and we're all appreciative of the fact that there's a time and a place to use that gift. So often in our Western consumer world, we think that the gift that stands up on the stage is the most important. It's so far not. Let's think of it this way. If no one unlocks the door and lets somebody in, then this gift up the front is not much use at all. Our gifts are equal. The body is equal. Corinthians reminds us, hey, that if everyone was an elbow, that wouldn't be much chop. If all of us were noses, where would the gift of sight be? No, we're all different. We're all equal because we're made in God's image. We're made in Him. Our equality comes in His creation. And as we learn to humble ourselves and actually say, you know what, I'm gifted, but so are you. And then as we actually learn to use our gifts, and to then actually use them. You see, in the body of Christ, if we want to live this stuff that Romans 12 is talking about, there's no passengers. There's actually no rosters either. That means we're always on deck to use our gifts to bless the body. We don't get the privilege of saying it's not my week. I did it last week. We don't get that privilege. Now, in a Western construct, we want to look after people as well, and so we create rosters, but I think you get what I'm saying. Your gift is your gift, and if it's an act of worship, we don't come in the body and then say, actually, I don't feel like worshiping today because I worshiped last week. It's almost ludicrous. We laugh about it, but if you're like me, we all do it. You've been given a gift, and when you use your gift, it's a blessing to the body. And the full manifestation of Christ is shown in the body when you use your gift. So we want to live like Christ. First, we've got to be changed from the inside out. It changes our mind, then it changes our body, and then it changes the way that we live out amongst each other. Now, this is probably the challenge one for me, because I'm really nice when I'm by myself. I'm actually a really good bloke. I'm happy to share with you how good a bloke I am by myself. But God calls us to live in community, and here's what happens in community. I actually find that there's some bits about me that aren't so nice. And we've got some options. When we find out some bits about us that aren't so nice, we can actually ask other people to change. Or we can actually go, God, I want what you're changing on the inside to now to start to affect the way I live on the outside, and I want that to change the way that I live in community. The Bible says in verse 9, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Honour one another above yourself, never be lacking in zeal. You know, this call to love one another can only happen through the Holy Spirit. But if we understand that we are a body submitted to Christ, all using our gifts, then we also need to understand that we love to love one another. 1 John 4:7-12 talks about the love that we show for one another. it says that by the way that we love one another, others will see that God's love as well. What a weird way for God to show his love, asking me and you to put up with each other and to love each other and to walk with each other. What a weird way to do that. Couldn't have you said, by the way the sun rises beautifully, you'll see my love. By the way a flower germinates in spring, you'll see my love. No, he says, by the way that you and me live together, work together, people will see my love. That doesn't mean avoiding each other. It actually means quite the opposite. It actually means rubbing up against each other. Because the way that we work through that says something about the love of God as well. The way that I accept you and you accept me shows something about the way that God accepts you and me. And if you and me can't accept each other, then how does a God accept someone out there? That's the thought pattern. But if people see a community that's living life as a worship response to God, and in that, they're loving each other, working through their differences, understanding that we rub each other the wrong way and we annoy each other, but we choose to work through that, then people see a community, they go, wow, that's a community I could be a part of. That's the love of God. You guys love that guy? Whew. Jesus is good. Huh? Love one another. Lastly, it says, never lose your zeal. Zeal's dedication, enthusiasm. If you have zeal, you're willing, you're energized, and you're motivated. You know what? You don't need to try and do that. When you live your life in connection with God, connection with Jesus, and you allow him to change that inner peace, that inner heart starts to flow, it all is connected. It's not like they're not connected. They're all connected. And as you do that, you will have zeal. You actually will have zeal. Zeal for the things of God, the kingdom of God, and to do live your life in ultimate worship of him. That's what Paul is calling each one of us to do. Why? Because he saw a hurt world that was cut off from him because of their own sin. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die, to pour out his mercy on us, to flavor us with his grace, that we might live life and live it to the full. Therefore, live your lives being transformed by the word of God, your mind, your body, and your community, that others might know that Jesus Christ lives. Thanks, Paul. Great message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we want to thank you that you actually call us to change. God, you don't just say, I love you, here's my son, that you might have eternal life, but you say, hey, and I want you to live a different way. I want you to live a way that looks different to the world around you. And here's how I want you to do it. I want you to sit with me, become intimate with me, become intimate with my ways, be intimate with my spirit, intimate with my authority and my power. So for each one of us here today, Lord, may we not walk away thinking I've just got to tick these boxes and my life will look different. God, help us to understand that it comes through sitting in the space with you. And then out of that, making some decisions to change the way we think, some decisions to discipline the way we act, to discipline the way we respond, but out of the authority and the power that can only come from you and your Holy Spirit. God, for some of us today, there might be a journey of some spiritual disciplines that need to come into our lives. God, I pray for each one of us who are saying, yeah, I actually need some spiritual discipline in my life. God, that you would empower us for that. And you would strengthen us for that. For us as a community, Lord, God, may we never lose our zeal. May we always be passionate about you. May we always be graceful and forgiving of each other. May your love abound in this community. May your love abound in such a way that people we rub shoulders with on a Monday to Friday basis would say, wow, the people that you spend time with, they're different. They're different, and it's Jesus that makes the difference. God, we love you. We worship you. And we thank you. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen. Please stand. We're going to sing a song.